This is, I think, this is not only our first Hanukkah movie, but it is syncing up with Hanukkah. What's this, the third night of Hanukkah tonight?
Smokey Robinson? No, let me look. I think you're right.
Yeah, it is. So
I know nothing about
the schedule. I just saw people posting about it recently. So happy third night of Hanukkah, everyone, and welcome to No Highway Option. It's Snow Highway Option now, because we're doing holiday movies. It's the cinema podcast where we answer the one question that applies to every holiday film. Is it better or worse than Vin Diesel's 2005 seminal not-holiday masterpiece, The Pacifier? I'm Connor. I'm one of your hosts. And a big old technical foul for me would have to be... I do agree with the leaving the refrigerator door open thing from the song, so I'm just going to go with that. You don't leave the fridge door open. That lets out all the cold.
All right. I'm your other host, Luke, and a technical foul for me would be clapping in the movie theater. Unless you're at the premiere or something, there's no goddamn reason for it.
Luke hates expressing emotion. And we have a special guest with us today. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Tyler. I know both of you from college. We've known each other for a long time. I don't have anything special about myself to say, but a technical foul for me, and I'm not going to do the voice because I'm bad at it, would be similar to Luke's, but clapping when a plane lands.
I mean, that's for you. You're rewarding the pilot. The pilot did a good job. You didn't crash.
Oh, man.
That's worth, like, at least two claps.
Yeah.
Are you going to boo before you're in a ball of fire?
It just makes me feel like you were expecting us not to land.
Which is always a risk. You know, you're in this big... You're in an Airbus. It's always a bit of a risk. But in case you couldn't tell from that intro, the movie that we're talking about this week, given to us by last week's guest, Brad, is Adam Sandler's 8 Crazy Nights, which is actually the official title. Does anyone have history with 8 Crazy Nights?
I had never seen it before, but I remember as a child trying to watch it at a sleepover with some friends, and it wasn't in the DVD box. It was there's something else in there. I don't remember what it was, but we were really bummed out, and that's the only experience.
Nice. I had seen this one.
Interesting.
Sometimes, I'm an Adam Sandler guy, so this was like part of my childhood.
This is one that I never watched. I knew that it existed, and, like, I probably saw bits and pieces of it when I was younger, but it never, like, stuck in my craw besides, like, oh, yeah, the old dude with the weird voices in that movie.
It's the craw again.
Yeah, it's a phrase I've heard before and have decided to use, I guess. I forget where I heard it from.
It's a very, like, Western movie phrase, I feel.
Get stuck in your craw.
Right on in your craw, nerd.
So, Luke wrote the first half of the synopsis for this week, and I wrote the second half, so I'm going to read the first half for you now, and he'll read the second half after our commercial break. So this is titled Sad Sandy, Hebrew Boozer 1. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much the entire first half right there in the sentence. Sad Sandy is a Hebrew boozer.
Yeah, I feel like I nailed it.
Meet Adam Sandler. He's a drunk cartoon who hates the holidays. One holiday season, he gets property damage drunk and lands in court. The judge lets him off on probation because old tiny drunk Adam Sandler sticks up for him. A condition of the probation is refereeing youth basketball with Whitey, who is the aforementioned old tiny drunk Adam Sandler. Young Adam is mean to old Adam, and then his house burns down. Smells like teen karma. Other things to keep in mind. There's a divorced lady who used to basketball with you, Adam, and Whitey is trying to win an award. Yeah, I think that sums it up, because this movie is 76 minutes long.
Much shorter than I remembered.
Yeah, I...
It's 76 minutes long, but felt like a little too long.
It feels like if Adam Sandler wasn't the driving force behind it, this would be like a TBS special that you'd accidentally watch on a Thursday night, and you're like, they made a Hanukkah cartoon special? Weird. And like, this is weirdly mean.
It's incredibly mean-spirited. And I was surprised going into this movie to see how many voices he does.
Yeah.
Because he's both himself and Whitey and
Whiteyna,
his sister.
Yeah, he's Whitey, I mean, Eleanor Davy. I think he's a deer, maybe? I feel like I remember.
I think he's all eight deer.
They were just like, Adam, deer. Get in the booth and go,
yeah, the deer don't talk.
They make the deer make sounds. And yeah, he is deer. His what? Jennifer, the guy that he has a crush on, the girl that Davey has a crush on, is Adam Sandler's wife. Rob Schneider is the.
Yeah. Real life?
Jackie Titone. Oh, I did not know that. If you try to go to her Wikipedia page, I think it takes you to Adam Sandler.
Yeah, I don't remember her in any of his other movies.
I think she makes cameos.
Yeah, I mean, he's Adam Sandler, so I'm sure she's in there somewhere. I think she
occasionally just...
I was also surprised to learn, kind of off topic, sort of, that the guy that was the waiter at the start of that also is the announcer.
Yep, the narrator and Mr. Chang are both Rob Schneider.
So the narrator was Rob Schneider.
Yes, the extremely unnecessary narrator. Yeah. Like, a scene would happen, and then the narrator would just go, yeah, he's a piece of shit, right? Anyway, on to the... we don't know how to use transitions, so on to the next scene, I guess.
He's is basically the same as the stage version of Hunchback. There's a lot of scenes that will happen, and then the narrator is like, and Quasimodo is feeling sad.
Well, it was like, they'd also be scenes where that would happen, and then the narrator would just kind of recap. Like,
yep.
Yeah, he was mean to Whitey.
Like, yeah,
yeah.
Boy. He watched him drive. Yeah. Look at Dave. Look at Davey. What an asshole, huh? Well, we'll learn about the asshole thing later. By the way, did you laugh at the not at all racist Chinese restaurant guy? Oh, I'm sure you liked it, and I'm sure it's okay.
It's a, you know, it's a strange voice he threw out there. Because I feel like there's like a spectrum of like racist voices, and usually there's like a thing, like you're going for something, and like they put it there, and you're like, oh, okay, I guess like I see it. It's like bad, but I see it. You know, like City Walk guy. Like, okay, yeah, I get where you're at. You know, I mean,
like a stereotype. Yeah,
specific.
But like for the purpose of a story, like they fit in. Like this guy served no purpose at any juncture.
Yeah, I think it could have.
Right.
Yeah, it's literally just Rob Schneider has done Asian voice in the past and has like, Adam, you want me for this, and then you want me to do it again for Chuck and Larry? It'll be fun. Come on.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm Rob Schneider.
Yeah.
I think that they only did it so that they could throw in the line that he drank 4 scorpion bowls.
Yeah.
Which has nothing else to do with right. the rest of it.
They love to shout. He drank 4 scorpion bowl. They love to shout it.
I have one of those in the cabinet. The dish cabinet at my house.
Have you ever drank 4 of them?
I've never actually drank out of it. Savannah's the only one who's drank out of it. But there was like a closing Chinese buffet, and they were like, it was like selling everything that wasn't bolted down and some of the shit that was. So yeah, I bought a $5 scorpion bowl.
Nice.
Why not? I have not. My brother has used it. And Savannah has used it.
You've never drank out of it so much that you get so drunk you hump your car. You know.
In front of a cop who looks like
very funny Adam Sandler thing of car humping. Didn't we all love his SNL character Larry the Car Humper? Yeah, Davey's just, I know, like, there's always like a thing about like, oh, is this like a bad character or just an unlikable protagonist? This guy's kind of a piece of shit. More than kind of.
Yeah,
he's just a piece of shit.
He's just an asshole. He's just
he's got dead parents.
Because he's sad that his parents
died. He's got dead parents from 14 or however 20 something years ago.
Yeah, he was 14 and he's just decided that I'm 14 and my parents died. I'm going to be an asshole to everybody I ever meet.
Like, I mean, yeah, that's what you set out to do, sure. Yeah, I'm going to be miserable for the rest of my life, whatever.
He wasn't even that funny. He was just...
Yeah, he kind of just shit all over people, and then it was like, okay, what's the joke? Oh, the fat kid's got tits. Okay, and... boys don't wear bras, and he's fat.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, that joke didn't really hit, but like, I don't know.
All of the whitey jokes didn't really hit. He's just being cruel to that old guy.
Him. It's
the main whitey joke that doesn't hit for me. Why is his running thing? I can't do it. When I have strong emotions, I have a seizure. And then he just has a seizure, and you're supposed to laugh at it?
Yeah.
It's an old man having a seizure. There's nothing funny about an old man randomly having a seizure.
Okay, yeah, well, you're looking at it like he's a real old man. But, like, look at his feet. He's big.
Why do his feet need to be different sizes? That's an unnecessary fact about Whitey and his sister, that they have weirdly sized feet.
Yeah, the thing with Whitey is, and I've heard this term used before, is, like, Whitey's whole design is a hat on a hat. Where it's like, okay, you have one thing, you're adding too many things on top of it. Because it's like, he is a tiny old man. Okay. He's going to talk like this. Okay, sure, that's fine. He has one big foot and one small foot. Alright, we didn't really need that. Oh, he has so much back hair, he looks like a Yeti except for his belly button.
Yeah.
Okay, we didn't need that, and he has big emotional seizures.
And he has a sister who's a carbon copy.
Yeah, but
I'm laughing just thinking about it.
Her main joke. I'll admit, Eleanor's main joke of random physical violence threats got me more than a few times. Like, her being neurotic, I was like, okay, whatever. Like, yeah, she's got the glasses, she's got the weird voice. Of course, she's going to be like, oh, there's dreams and everything. But then she's like, if you don't listen to my rules, I'll hit you in the nuts with a baseball bat. And I'm like, hell yeah. That's funny.
I did like her first joke of Whitey being like an hour late and her calling the morgue and then telling her to call back later.
I mean, I feel like that's what you do at a morgue.
You tell people to call back later?
Would you tell somebody to call back later? I feel like that's really...
Eventually, if you call, they're going to end up there. It just depends on how much later.
God, That seems dark, unless it's like a missing person.
Well, yeah, it's dark humor. What was the... Oh, well, that's in part two, so I'll mention that later. Yeah, this was Adam Sandler's first animated film, and he didn't do another voice until 2011, when he was Donald the Monkey in Zookeeper. And then he... And then he did the three Hotel Transylvania movies, which I would say are better animated Adam Sandler movies than this.
This, from an animation standpoint, I was surprised at how good.
The character models are pretty all right, and like it moves well.
I did expect it to look worse. Revisiting.
Yeah. Yeah, this is like what, 2008?
Ah.
Really? Wow. That's even older than I thought. Man, it looks.
Yeah. Apparently, good. A lot of the animators that worked on this were laid off from Warner Brothers and Fox. So that's why a lot of the character designs look similar to the characters in The Iron Giant. Which, like, they've got similar looks.
Yeah, now that you say it.
Yeah, I can see that.
I didn't realize that until I read that IMDb fact, and I was like, ah, that's interesting. Apparently the original title was Whitey and Davy, but it was changed because it sounded politically incorrect. I guess because Whitey.
Yeah,
this movie's very politically correct.
This is the most PC movie you've ever seen, you know, deer's eating shit.
I would argue that that's not the thing.
I was surprised.
I know, that was just the first thing I thought of.
It wasn't like apparent to me until the end of that, like one of the last scenes in the movie, but they harp on this being like the Eight Nights of Hanukkah, and like in that town, there's like six people that are celebrating.
Well, that's
Hanukkah.
The joke.
Yeah.
Where it's like, hey, everybody, Merry Christmas, and there's a huge cheer, and Happy Hanukkah, and there's like, yay. Like, an alright joke. But it's this is really trying to throw out a lot of jokes, and only a few actually hit, at least for me. Like,
I would agree with that.
Most of the Whitey stuff, when Davey throws the French fries at him and it spells out "bite me," and he does the classic "joke's on you, I can't read."
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's a classic joke format. Jokes on you, I can't read, pretty much always works. But like, Whitey singing a little song about the All-Star Banquet, and he's like, oh, there's a three-boobed lady and guys pissing themselves everywhere.
Yeah.
The chorus line is made out of those peanut people from the Proud Family movie. Like, it, none of that worked for me.
The lady, let me wind this back for you, Connor. Because
the lady had three boobs.
To
I know.
Be misunderstanding that the lady had three boobs.
No, I'm aware she did. That's also something in Total Recall. But like, she makes a joke about them in Total Recall. She says, "You'll wish you had three hands," and you go, "Okay." And this is just like, woman has three boobs, and she got them.
Yeah.
And right, she won three of the awards.
Yeah, 3 years in a row. So, like, did the entire town coordinate after she won the one? And it's like, well, we have to. Like, I mean, it'll look weird. It'll look weird without symmetry. Yeah. I forgot there's the mayor in this. He's voiced by Kevin Nealon, but he's modeled after Paul Rudd, I'm guessing. Because he looks weirdly like Paul Rudd.
I think he looks kind of like Kevin Nealon, though.
Maybe my eyes don't work.
That's why I wear glasses.
You got them Paul Rudd eyes.
I mean, yeah, who doesn't have Paul Rudd eyes? It's not a hot take now that he's voted sexiest man alive or whatever, but...
You just see him everywhere?
Yes.
Is that Paul Rudd or the cactus on my windowsill?
Yeah. Oh my god, when did Paul Rudd move in? That's the Cats. Oh my god, two Paul Rudds? Yeah. Little cute detail, Whitey's windshield wipers has mittens on them. That's funny. Little, like, not actual laugh at it, but it's just like, ah, oh, that's cute. He reads a magazine called Short and Goofy Quarterly.
A classic. What are the sizes of the
feet? I'd have to buy the
men's 12 and a children women's 9 or something.
It's like men's 11 left, children 6 right or something.
I think it's that.
I hope that's not actually it, because that would be awful if some...
I think you had it backwards. I think the right
foot. The 11 is whatever it is. The right.
Whatever it is, I'm just... I don't want some useful knowledge to have been forced out of my brain to be like, remember Whitey's feet. Just always have that back there.
Why not?
Because, I don't know, man. Like, I don't want to go do my taxes and it's like, oh, what form do I have to fill out for this? And it's just like, look at my little feet. I'm a little hairy man.
I think TurboTax is going to be confused.
It's not helpful.
They're going to be like, we asked for a form. Send us that audio recording.
You just sent us pictures of Whitey from 8 Crazy Nights. You've unlocked legal tax fraud. The narrator tells us Whitey does odd jobs because his main job is volunteering as a referee for 30-something years. And so people take advantage of...
Well, I don't think he gets paid to referee. I think people just are mean to him and make him do stupid things for a dollar. Like, everybody in that town is like, unusually cruel to him.
I think everybody in that town is meaner than Davey to him.
The construction workers are very mean to him.
Yeah.
Everybody else in that town just kind of ignores Whitey. Davey is actively an asshole to Whitey.
But worse than the construction workers? I don't know.
The construction workers are like, hey.
That's fair.
Yeah, they're like, hey, you offered to do jobs for us. Do these jobs. Davey is, I saw you went into the shitter, down you go, I'm gonna make you a poopsicle. I am your hero. I am the hero of this film. You are supposed to like me.
Well, he's not really the hero till the end, when he saves the day.
I wouldn't even argue he saves the day. I'd just argue that he decides that he's not gonna be rude. The other thing
In turn, saves the day.
I
think Davey's character, like, I like his emotional through line. I think it would work in a better movie. But him being such an asshole, it makes me think, and past and future guest Chris thought of this while we were all watching it. It makes me think that, like, he belongs in a Christmas Carol type story, but about Hanukkah. Like, he's being the Scrooge, but he doesn't have ghost visits. He's just yelled at.
They also made it seem like he had until the end of Hanukkah to turn his life around, or something was going to happen. And
he was going to go to prison for 10 years.
Right, but they didn't. They just said, you got to do this, and if you break the law again, you're gonna go to prison. It wasn't like, you have until the end of Hanukkah, or you go to prison.
Yeah. Your probation period is one holiday.
8 days.
You know how court works. If you go there on Holy Thursday, they'll be like, don't do any crimes before Easter and you'll be fine.
Also strange that the judge is just doling out sentences at that banquet.
Yeah, I mean, That's one of those things where I was like, yeah, it's a cartoon.
Yeah.
You're acting like he's a real judge, Luke.
Well, one of us has
He didn't go to judge school. I don't think we have to.
One of us being us or the judge himself.
Right. This was the first PG-13 film to get a Kids' Choice Award nomination.
Nice.
I do not think it won.
Oh, well, what did it lose to?
Something better.
Drake and if Josh?
If it were... They didn't have an animated movie.
They did have a movie, though, that was surprisingly good.
Oh, no. Adam Sandler won Favorite Voice from an Animated Movie.
He won what? Best Actor?
Favorite voice from an animated movie.
That tracks.
For which voice? Because,
like,
though?
Who doesn't still remember the voice? You know?
For Whitey or for Elmo? Or for Dave?
It just says Eight Crazy Nights. just says Adam Sandler. Because he also won Best Actor that year for Mr. Deeds, you see.
The Kids' Choice Awards?
Yeah. Kids' Choice Awards loved Adam Sandler.
Mr. Deeds is a great flick.
The favorite movie was Austin Powers in Goldmember.
I will say that Goldmember is a better movie than this, for sure. I'm sorry.
That's not a hard comparison of it.
The other actors that were up against Adam for Eight Crazy Nights were Matt Damon for Spirit Stallion of the Cimarron.
Yikes.
Dennis Leary in Ice Age.
And Ray Romano in Ice Age.
Ice Age, underrated flick.
I mean, the first Ice Age is good. Then they made five of them.
Ice Age, not as good as this movie.
Disagree.
Hard disagree. I just think it's weird that Dennis Leary was nominated and not John Leguizamo, because, like, everybody likes Sid the Sloth funny voice.
I don't know if everyone walked out of that movie thinking they loved Sid.
Are you serious? Because I definitely did.
I think you're the only one.
Really? He was funny. He was the comic relief. I didn't give a shit. I
would be willing to bet if you did a quick search for annoying animated characters, Sid is on some lists.
Well, I would... Being... What? When did it come out? 2002? Being 7 years old, I was like, hey, he's annoying. That means he's funny.
Yeah. I think the opposite happened for a lot of people.
I don't know. Diego the Tiger, I don't remember caring about it at all.
Dude, he saves the day. He has an arc.
Sure.
Does Sid the Sloth really have an arc? Or is he just like...
Yeah, his arc is at the beginning, he tries to eat pine cones and it's not very good.
Listen, all I'm saying is I went to high school with a kid who was the spitting image of Sid the Sloth. And
that's probably very
nice. He never wanted what to you hear just that said. When I said it to him.
Probably because he doesn't want to look like Sid the Sloth, because he's an intentionally ugly creature.
Okay, well, I didn't say you're an intentionally ugly creature.
I don't look like what? I didn't go to high school with you.
Yeah, so you're not the guy in this story.
yeah, I don't know where that came from.
Glad we cleared that up.
Yeah, I don't know why you called me out. Anyway, speaking of looks, Davey is apparently based on a picture of Adam Sandler when he was 19.
He was based on Adam Sandler at 19.
Moving on. Yeah, I guess young Davey is based off that, or shirtless Davey, where he's kind of buff, is.
Connor was viscerally upset when Adam Sandler took off his shirt.
I did. I shouted, you don't look like that.
It seemed unnecessary to do with shirts versus skins in 2v2 basketball.
Inside.
Yeah.
You don't have any pennies in there at the rec center.
But, like, they wanted to do the joke of Whitey looks like a Yeti.
Which was a good joke.
And then they knocked him down and he had a seizure.
Also,
which was not a good joke. It's not funny when people have seizures.
When real people have seizures, That's a cartoon man who's 2 feet tall. His body's covered in Yeti hair. He has two different sized feet. He talks like Whitey.
He's having
a funny seizure. Yeah.
You know, a character trait of Whitey is talks like Whitey. That's what Adam Sandler had in the casting breakdown, and they're like, what does that mean? He's like, I guess you're going to have to give me the part.
You're going to find out.
Apparently, a producer on the film was in contact with the Nostalgia Critic after he did a review of it, and the producer wanted to cut a lot from the movie, but it tested so well with audiences that he wasn't allowed to change it.
I can
like
think of a
the
scene.
Deer eating shit.
I can think of a scene that I would have preferred them cut at the end.
Was it? Well, the deer eating shit scene is the one that he brings up. Like, he wanted it gone, and audiences were like, that's so fucking funny.
Well, yeah.
The deer ate
it's
shit.
It's a movie for 12-year-olds. It's a joke about a deer with a mouthful of shit. Of course it tasted well.
The shit eating wasn't that bad. It was the deer smiling with shit dripping off their teeth. That was what was, I was like, I could do without
that's
that.
That's part of it.
I did not particularly love that either.
And test audiences hated Whitey's voice, but the producers and the creative team did not want that to change.
I think that's a good call. Because, like, when you think about this movie, when this movie is referenced, it's not like, oh, remember the Foot Locker guy? It's Whitey's voice every time.
Yeah, I guess I've heard people talk about it, and they're like, oh man, remember Eight Crazy Nights? And they go, technical foul! And they're like, yeah let's talk about anything else.
This
That's
movie,
how you respond to people.
It seemed like it was just Adam Sandler's way of making fun of himself and displaying his knowledge of basketball rules.
He does really like basketball.
It certainly seems like it.
This is also the third movie to ever be nominated for a Razzie Award. Third animated movie.
What are the first two?
The first one, I believe, is... Oh, did it get its own animated thing? It looks like the first one was Thumbelina in 1995, and the second one was that's not the second one that says the Emoji Movie, and I cannot see
the timeline
what
seems
the
messed up.
Yeah, I know, I cannot find what the other one is, but I know the first and the third.
Was Thumbelina bad? I feel like
I feel like people just didn't care about it. And also, the Razzies kind of just go off if they watch the trailer and they go, stupid! Or they just look at Twitter. Now,
I feel like animated movies, especially in the 90s, were largely overlooked.
We got largely, and then I
got
cut
largely
off.
Largely overlooked, sorry.
I thought that was a dramatic
Yeah,
pause.
it was the whole Disney Renaissance period, and like they were the only ones people were looking at, and then everything else was just like, they're doing a princess story, it's a ripoff! And like, only Anastasia fell through the cracks of like, oh, hey, a real one.
That's a good one.
Like, you know, people don't talk about Quest for Camelot.
Don't they? He's got the dragon. I don't... Isn't Christopher Lloyd in that?
Probably. I don't know. Christopher Lloyd's in Anastasia.
Wasn't he in both?
I don't think so.
Who's in Quest for Camelot?
Eric Idle might be. John Cleese might be.
All right.
You know, our very own Mr. Bridwell.
Gary Oldman was.
You got Gary Oldman. You got Cary Elwes. You got Don Rickles. You got Jane Seymour, Celine, Jaleel White. Those are pretty much all the names.
I don't
Steve Perry.
Know anything about that movie. Except the dragon. I remember the dragon from the poster. I know that I saw it.
I don't think I ever did.
I know it was a huge flop, and like I remember seeing parts of it and being like, I'm confused. But it was Warner Brothers being like, we gotta do a Disney.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Also, the mall is a big part of Eight Crazy
Nights. Yeah, it's Whitey's like favorite place love... for some reason, because he's four and he likes to window shop.
Yep, he does his little rhyming thing about like, you go get Spencer's gift, fake dog do.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's kind of gross. I don't like it.
I did like the joke that Adam Sandler made at the mayor's expense of like, Spencer's is the place you're looking for whatever outrageous violence he said.
Furry underwear.
Furry underwear. Mayo furry.
A bunch of those stores are closed.
Yeah, there's no more KB Toys.
The kids, they're like two little toy soldier kid or toy whatever they were Dylan and Cole Sprouse.
Oh, wow.
Zach and Cody themselves.
This is post Big Daddy.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
He was... Yeah, it's like a couple of years, like two or three maybe. The biggest product placement thing that made me laugh was Whitey said Dunkin' Donuts, and I was like, Dunkachino? From Jack and Jill? Al Pacino's little dancing commercial?
I think Foot Locker is like,
I just,
more of a product placement than
yeah. Dunkin'. Foot Locker was like the lead mall character.
Yeah,
and Express.
Very weird. There's more songs. Whitey has two songs, but like he also sings a lot in a song that Davey sings about Jennifer and their first kiss and how it was romantic. And then Whitey's like, "I had sex on your phone." Yeah. And then the mayor's like, "I have a trend." Mayor's like, transphobia jokes, it's 2002.
Song was a bop. I laughed several times.
The sex on the phone made me laugh.
There's one song that I legitimately liked, and it was not that one.
Was it Technical Foul?
Well, I was going to say it's in the second half, so we could move on to that if we want, unless we have anything else specific to say in the first half.
It's shocking to me that he could drink four scorpion bowls, be that hammered, and then successfully snowboard through town on a trash can lid. Right out of the gate, I was like, oh, okay, we're doing...
This is fake! This is not
Yeah,
real.
Right out of the gate. It wasn't the 2D animation that made you go, maybe this isn't real. It was a drunk guy handling himself.
Yeah, I don't think that's realistic there.
I did think it was strange that the cops were chasing in a car while he was snowboarding on the trash can lid.
Yeah, the whole opening was very much just like, oh, now this is happening?
Yeah, we're gonna give you no context, and here's a guy you hate.
Well, you don't know you hate him yet.
Yes, you do. Immediately, you know that you hate him.
But you're supposed to be like Adam Sandler, and then it's like, oh, Adam
Sandler. Adam Sandler, you're stealing from that Chinese man, and now you're just rude.
Doesn't the narrator start off with like, Davey's an asshole, but you'll learn that yourself. Did you like my funny Chinese guy voice?
He does say that.
Yeah. And very quickly you learn that yourself.
Almost as if you didn't need him to tell you.
Yeah, almost as if this did not need a narrator to pad out the runtime.
Yeah.
Recorded. make the transitions that were awkward less awkward.
I think every movie needs Rob Schneider as a narrator.
I don't agree. It does.
Not every movie.
Every movie could be benefited from just a little bit of Rob Schneider narrating it.
I don't think every movie needs that. There are some.
I don't think any movie does. I would not be excited to see, like, okay, one that would benefit maybe was if he read the on-screen text in Eternals and was just like, hey, so there's these things, they're celestials, and they help the world or some shit. But, like, I wouldn't want to see The Matrix with a Rob Schneider narrator.
Luke, are you going to...
Well, I guess that's where we differ.
Are you going to tell me that The Patriot is better with Rob Schneider narrating it?
No, because that's a perfect film. It doesn't need any changes. I have no notes.
Hey, this British guy is going to shoot a kid eventually, but you'll find that out on your own.
His sons were better men, but you'll find that out on your own.
Aw, who spends this much time making chairs? You know what I like to do? Racist caricatures. Anyway.
But you'll find that out on your own. Yeah.
The second crazy night?
That was last night, the night we're recording this.
It's time to meet Eleanor, Whitey's equally weirdly voiced sister. They've lived by themselves for 67 years, so I'm confused about Whitey's canonical age. Is he in his 70s? Like, I'm pretty sure they said his parents also died when he was like 10, or did I get his age wrong? Either way, technical foul song happens, and it's funny. So now Davey is being nicer to everyone until Whitey is like, hey, remember how your parents died on what seemed like it was going to be the best day of your little 12-year-old life? Then Davey's back to being an asshole, yelling at everybody and telling Whitey he'll never win the patch. So he gets drunk and breaks into a mall, where product placement comes to life and tells him to cry. Because who's a better therapist than two little KB toy soldiers voiced by the Sprouse twins and Carl Weathers as a bottle of GNC pills? Davey finally opens the card from his parents and cries about it, then runs to stand up for Whitey at the basketball holiday gala or whatever this shit actually is. After Tom Balthazar wins the real patch, Davey makes everyone recount the times they were shitty to Whitey with a bitty bitty song, recapping the movie.
Song bitty 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 song.
In case we've forgotten anything in the past less than an hour, which makes the town give their all-star patches to Whitey. Happy Chinooka. That's pretty much it. A third version of Adam Sandler's Chinooka song plays over the credits, and I genuinely did not know there were multiple versions. My favorite line is, We don't have Deck the Halls or Jingle Bell Rock, but you can spin the dreidel with Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock, both Jewish.
From the original version. That's my favorite line. I don't know. I like how he goes, both classic. Jewish. O.J. Simpson, not a Jew, is also a good one. But guess who is Hall of Famer Rod Peru?
All three stooges.
Yeah, it's interesting you brought up that they've been living together for 67 years. Because I'm pretty sure you're right. They say that he's like turning 70. In the court scene. So has he just been living alone with his sister since he was 3?
The thing. I was like, they do say 70s, and he's like, we've been alone for 67 years. And it's like, okay, so are we going to do a parallel of like, my parents also died when I was around your age, and like, I turned out to be an okay guy. But no. He just has a seizure.
are we led to believe that Adam Sandler has waited like 15 years since his parents died to read the card that they sent him?
I think so.
Like, what isn't that something? Like, again, I know it's a fish movie, but I feel like if your parents died, you'd read that card.
Well, that one I kind of get. He doesn't want to read it because, like, that's them saying goodbye to him.
How does
like,
he know?
If he hold, well, if he, well, no, like, if he hold, it's like the thought of like if he holds on to it, then like he still has something from his parents that he doesn't know. It would still be a new experience eventually or something. And like he's probably too scared to look at it because it's like they had this as they died. That I get. I don't know. I think the emotional. Like, Davy's emotional arc, I think, is really... I like it. I think it belongs in a different movie. Like, something that would support it.
Like something Spanglish? That's not like...
I've never seen Spanglish.
You know, it was better than I thought it was going to be when I watched it.
But is it the same plot line? Does he cry over Hanukkah?
No, it has nothing to do with this.
Is he like binging with Babish? He's gonna say this is the best sandwich in the world, and Hanukkah's ad.
they don't talk about Chinooka at all.
Ah. The scene in the ice rink. This is the goof that I found very funny on IMDb. Eleanor is seen eating a corn dog purchased from the ice rink cafe. However, upon inspection of the ice rink cafe menu, corn dogs are not there. It is presumed she got it somewhere else and bought it with her.
I hope so.
That is hilarious.
Whitey says one thing about Adam Sandler's parents. Or Davey's parents, and he's just, and Davey's immediately just like, all right, well, I'm going to go back to being the biggest piece of shit to you and make you feel awful about yourself because you tried to connect to me.
I mean,
I think the movie could have benefited from more time in just that. The fact that we don't see anything of Adam Sandler really getting to change. There's nothing that would really make us root for him. Aside from that, he's funny.
And to be fair, Whitey starts telling the story. He's like, well, this is a story about a boy who had a good day, but his parents were about to die. And Davey goes, do not tell this story, please. Fair. I do not want to hear this. Please stop. And he's like, I think I can help you out with your problems. So, like, I'll side with Davey on the freaking out over his past trauma, because he said, do not bring this up. It is a triggering event.
Fair.
Like, that's the one time I'm like, yeah, okay, makes sense. And then Rob Schneider was like, ho-ho, triggered. Liberal needs a safe space, huh?
They also make it seem like...
I don't
like...
think he did say that.
He didn't.
They also make it seem like he was consistently rude to... What was her name? Jennifer? And, like, in that flashback scene, he just tells her to leave him alone once. And
yeah, I'm 14, I'm depressed, and I'm going to start drinking. We're broken up.
And then now she's just like, well, you're the worst person I've ever met. It's like,
well, yeah, I'm not a proponent of making movies longer, but this could stand another 10 to 20 minutes
just to make...
of, like, what?
You know, just to flesh out some stuff.
Yeah, no, you can.
Or
it could hit an hour and a half and be no problem.
Cut out the deer eating shit scene and add some more stuff into it.
But that's you can't go. You can't be like in a board meeting for an Adam Sandler movie and be like, "All right, we should cut the funny shit stuff. Well, the presumably funny to our audience shit stuff, and add sadness.
Add plot.
Yeah, they'll go for that, right?" Sad means $100 million, right? Also, speaking of the flashback, it's another goof on IMDb. Is Whitey, you know, the team wins, So Whitey says, "A wind like that makes me want to do the robot dance." And he does a dance to Mr. Roboto. Whitey said the team won their game in 1981. Mr. Roboto came out in 1983. Just a little thing. I think the product placement song is one of the worst things to happen to all of humanity.
I think it's a song.
I think it sucks.
It's on par.
I think it's weird.
It's bad on par with the Shiny song from Moana.
Oh no, oh. Shiny's one of the best villain songs of the past 15 years.
I hate
no,
it.
Shiny takes a fat shit.
Shiny.
I'm glad you said it.
I love Shiny. I think it's fun.
I'm glad somebody enjoyed it because I found it horrendous.
It's a fun little David Bowie thing. Jermaine Clement's doing his thing. He says Heine. I laugh.
Yeah, it's
bad.
It's the part of the movie you wish would go faster.
Yes.
I never said Heine in a Disney movie before.
They've done a bunch of other outlandish shows, but yeah, I get you.
I think that this is much worse than that, but
it's definitely it's just, bad.
Why does it need to be real brands? Why does it need
something needed to pay for the movie?
But they did that without the brands knowing about it.
That's awesome.
They were used without permission from their respective companies. So it's not real product placement they're just advertising to you with nothing.
No one's really getting anything out of it.
It's just
You heard this happen and you were like, man, that Shoe Locker, they know.
I feel like Panda
from Panda Express. I gotta go buy some crab rangoons because it'll help me sort my shit out.
You can also
these are bad.
It's a stretch. I will say that up front. It's a stretch. You could argue that there's the product placement for Dunkin' Donuts being like, they have sugar-free stuff for diabetics because Eleanor would die.
Yeah. It was
unnecessary.
Yeah, well, and it's like, you gotta get orange chicken from Panda Express. And then just the thought of it being so in your face with like, these are the brands. Foot Locker Man, KB Toys Boys, a Victoria's Secret gown, voiced by Tyra Banks. It's like, why?
The old KB Toys Boys.
It's because Whitey is sad everywhere except if the mall.
You could have made him just like Hanukkah ghosts and actually made this movie a little more about Hanukkah.
I don't.
Besides throwing in Hanukkah a few times.
I don't think.
You could have made him like dreidels, a menorah. It could have been the deer.
I don't know, man.
There's a lot of much easier solutions than brands.
I think it didn't need to hit you in the face anymore with Hanukkah stuff because I think it benefited the story they were trying to tell the amount that it was around.
Well, because it's not a Hanukkah story. They just slapped Hanukkah on there because they were like, Eight Crazy Nights, Adam Sandler song.
No, man, it's definitely a Hanukkah story.
Yeah, it's not really a Hanukkah story. It referenced Hanukkah like 6 times.
It could very easily be transferred to the summer and it's like, well, his parents died on Memorial Day, so he hates Memorial Day.
Yeah, or the 4th of July.
Yeah.
I guess. Just because you want it to not be Jewish doesn't mean it's not.
That's not what I said at all.
That's like part of the Sandler thing, though. Like, I think it's in everything that he does. On account of it.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying that, but it's like, this is like one of like the big like it's a Hanukkah movie, and then when you watch it, it's like there's not much Hanukkah in it besides like it's, you know, it's December.
Yeah, but like
it could be
there's
more
menorah.
It could definitely be more.
How much?
It could be more Hanukkah. I want it to be a little more Hanukkah. I wanted, you know, like have some Hanukkah iconography. Tell him to cry instead of the brands.
I think you're using it because you don't like the brand song.
I don't think that's part of it.
About the Hanukkah thing.
It's not.
Because
it's a mix of both.
Yeah, this aspect isn't necessarily about the Hanukkah thing. It's about that brand song sucks. But they could have made that brand song not suck.
But it could have made it more Hanukkah.
They could have made this brand song not suck by making it more Hanukkah. And they could have made the overall movie more Hanukkah by making the brand song Hanukkah.
Nah, man, I think the idea that there is not that much Hanukkah stuff going on is representative of the experience that a lot of people have with it, because it is another holiday season, or at least I think it feels like that. And so I think like not having that much of it and then building to that joke at the banquet, I think it makes sense.
You think it's a commentary?
I mean, as much as it can be in this movie with the two big feet, but to an extent, yes, I do think so.
I don't.
It's possible, but like it doesn't come across enough.
I don't know that.
It doesn't come across because you're not the target demo.
I just don't think Adam Sandler is that like socially aware in 2002.
I don't think a 12-year-old would watch this and be like, you know, this is an insightful commentary on the lack of Hanukkah representation in our media.
Nobody's parents.
They just
might.
Go, haha, dear shit. Also, they said Hanukkah.
I think their parents are just like, I hope you never watch that movie again. It's teaching you to bully old people.
It's teaching you to bully the olds and the fats. Yeah. And then they were like, let's leave it at that.
It's teaching you that one.
Let's not have him bully anyone else.
One moment of goodness in a lifetime of being an asshole will get you the girl of your dreams.
But again, there are good lines in this occasionally.
Sure.
Like, for every 15 jokes, there's one or two that hit. When Eleanor is going to the banquet, she's wearing a dress. They say, you look like Audrey Hepburn if she was 4 feet tall and weighed 300 pounds.
Yeah.
That was good. There's a whole run about the toilet seat protector. And Eleanor's like, it's my lobster bib. They're like, no, that's your hiney protector. So she puts it on the regular chair and says, my hiney is joim fui. I laughed real hard at that. Hiney's a funny word.
I like when she, it's been like established, is terrified of everything. Just like jump kicks that dude in the head for Stephen Ludwig.
And she hits him with her big foot. But again, it's a hat on a hat thing, because like she hits him with the big foot, knocks him out, gets the wig back. Asian man has the wig now. Okay, whatever. And then it's like, but I gotta put his hand down his pants to make him look like he was masturbating. It's like, why?
Because it's a through line. Because they put the hand in the pants earlier.
Yeah, unnecessarily.
Right, I guess. Yeah, whatever.
It carried on through.
Speaking of the thing where it was like, oh, we're supposed to think he was always such a dick to Jennifer, she changes her tune on him real fast as he's getting arrested. She's like, let the man speak. He is a wonderful man. And it's like, weren't you just giving him shit?
She sees
like,
him
I get
tear up, and she's immediately like, okay, he's changed now.
Man has emotions. Good man.
I think it's more about Whitey than it is about him.
And like, yeah, he helped her kid out with basketball.
Connor hates single mom.
No, I don't like when movies are like, sudden heel turn, because we need to wrap this up, because you know, it's been going for so long.
The longest 45 minutes.
I think that they could have taken out the deer laughing so hard that they shit themselves.
That joke was so weird.
Oh man, just it was the only good deer thing, I think.
The escalating reactions to that mediocre joke of like, they're just like slamming their heads in the table, The kids are snotting everywhere. The deer are shitting everywhere. I was very confused.
They spent an unusual amount of time and energy animating deer spewing shit out of their assholes.
It is a weird amount of it's a weird amount of filler for a 76-minute movie. Yeah. I think my note for that is just the reaction to the bad knock-knock joke is what the fuck.
Speaking of what the fuck, do you think it's strange that they focused on Jennifer's ass in that one thing, even though they didn't draw an ass?
They didn't draw anything.
Because you could have just as easily not written that if you didn't know how to draw a butt.
Yeah, you could have just said you thought that she was hot, and then be like, look at her ass.
Look at her 2D ass.
Yeah. They zoomed in on it. It looked like Parappa the Rapper's head.
It did. There are moments in this where it's very much a what were they thinking type thing. Tom Balthazar having a hook for a hand. I guess. So they could have that line about, like, I think about how that guy wipes his ass or whatever.
Yeah. More than once they called back to that.
In the Bomb Bitty Bitty Bum song where it recaps the movie we just watched in the past hour.
That and Whitey is just going to break into the mall. To be sad.
Well, sometimes I can't leave the door open. I'm Whitey. I'm harmless. I will say one thing about the ending that was satisfying. It did answer a single question. It cuts to one moment where three boob lady breastfeeds three kids. And before that happened, I went, how would she do that? And then it showed it. So I will say, I thought about the logistics. I went, that's strange. And then it was like, there's the three kids. And I went, okay.
I thought it was unnecessary that she had all three pins on each boob.
Oh, incredibly. But it answered a question I had, so, like, I don't hate it that much.
I would submit that three boob, always funny.
I don't know. If you tell jokes with it, yeah. But if she just has three boobs, then she just has three boobs.
Yeah, it could have been funny. It was, and there are times when it was. It just seemed like a throwaway. She's got three boobs. Which, like, in and of itself, not that funny.
Three boob, always funny.
If you cut to, like,
boob right, no can defend.
If you, like, I don't know, if you had her entering the banquet with her husband, and then, like, her husband took his jacket off and revealed he had a third hand, that might have been something.
That would have been a good use of three hands. Three hands, yeah, that would... not always funny, but can be funny.
It's three how hands do you feel useful. About hook hand?
Hook hand, always funny.
I was expecting a joke between hook hand and three boobs, I will say that. That there was some situation where that was an issue. Which would have been funny.
I can co-sign also, that.
They did kind of backload this movie with the good, like, bits. Like, the one part where Tom is patting the mayor on the back with his hook hand, and the mayor keeps getting stabbed.
Yeah.
I was like, that's hilarious. That's great.
Yeah. And when they sang, do you think he ever wipes with the wrong hand? And the first time he went, yes. That was funny.
Don Lovitz.
I agree that they backloaded this movie a lot with, like, the good jokes. Around mm-hmm. Davey not being 100% a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Still like 85% of these.
Would you say he saves the day?
No.
Oh.
What does he have to save besides Whitey's feelings? The
Whitey. I would say that the town saved the day by listening.
It's not even like he saved Whitey from having a seizure, because good things happen, and Whitey goes, "You're the happiest seizure of my life," but he still has a fucking seizure as an old man.
But it's a happy seizure. It's different. It's like a dance.
It's still a seizure.
It's like a happy dance.
It's not.
It's like doing the worm.
I did like, the last thing I liked in this movie was Jennifer and Davey reconnecting a little bit, and Eleanor just randomly goes, "Now go live happily ever after. I'll drop kick your teeth out." And I went, because Eleanor randomly threatening violence was funny when it happened.
Eleanor might be the funniest character in that movie.
She's pretty funny.
I think she's got the most consistent jokes.
You know what would have made her more funny?
Three boobs.
A third boob, yes.
I mean, it's pretty funny when she's the Columbia lady at the beginning. Eleanor's the Columbia lady, and then she melts into the regular Columbia lady.
Yep.
Speaking of Moana, when my dad watched that recently, well, my mom was watching it and my dad was also there, Moana holds up the stone really high and my dad goes, "Ah, it's the Columbia Pictures lady." And then he went back to whatever he was doing. Irrelevant, but...
topical.
Is there anything else we want to talk about with Eight Crazy Nights before we go on to the criteria?
Jennifer was very inconsistent for me. She saw Davey being nice with her kid and helping him kick the shit out of two older guys in basketball. And then her son said, like, "Ha, you guys suck." And she's immediately like, "Ah, Davey, you suck ass." And storms off. But then she sees him tear up once.
"Suck my nutsack, biatch," yeah, or whatever.
And then she sees him tear up once, and she's like, "Ah, he has redeemed himself entirely."
It seems as though Tyler also hates single moms.
It's nothing to do with single parents.
No, not single parents, specifically single moms.
It's got nothing to do with the fact that she's single or a mother.
It has nothing to do with single moms. Hmm.
I don't know.
It
seems contagious.
It has to do with... universally likes single moms, despite their character flaws.
Hide your single moms. Luke is on the prowl. Oh, should the title be "Hide Your Single Moms," and then they wait the entire episode to be like, "What the fuck does that mean?"
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. All right, I'll write that down.
So, is that the transition to the criteria?
Sure. So we can do the criteria every episode in both No Highway Option and Snow Highway Option. We do it. It's a very specific set of criteria to compare this movie to The Pacifier. And the first set of criteria is, how's the soundtrack?
It's the best part, right?
I like Technical Foul.
Technical Foul is great.
Technical Foul, funny song.
I think the choral arrangement of the Hanukkah song is strange.
Yeah.
Largely, I think this song or this movie could do without most of the songs.
I don't know.
I think the songs feel like they had... the songs feel like they put them in out of necessity. They were like, animated movies have songs, so like we gotta have a couple of songs. And they didn't write them because they were like, "I have a great idea." They were like, "Yeah, I guess this could go here." Except for Technical Foul. Like, I think that was the song they had in mind.
Yeah, I'll say... And I went into this movie blind, knowing nothing about it. So after the first song, I was like, holy shit, are they going to do more songs? Or is that just a throwaway for no reason?
That would suck if the only it would suck if the only song was just like, I'm a guy who hates the holidays, and watch me hit a tree.
That would have been weird, but I also like hilarious as a joke. Like, ah, you thought we were a musical, but we're not.
Get Ben.
I guess. Where does the lead actor land on the Dieselometer, a ranking comparison of Vin Diesel's performances and characters based on charm, ability, what's happening in the movie, whatever. I can't think of a Vin performance this unlikable. Unless you want to count, like, Dom in the first Fast and Furious, where he's, like, not exactly a villain, but...
Oh, he's fully a criminal.
Kind of like, you're kind of, like, wary about him. Yeah, he's a criminal, but, like, you're, like, wary about, like, is this guy on the level or not?
I'd put this on par with Vin's performance in Triple X.
How come?
I just...
I just do.
Because both movies are bad? No, because... You don't really, at least I don't really like Xander Cage. He's just kind of like largely not likable as a character. And then he gets up.
All right.
Tyler doesn't know how to get to the Xander zone.
I'm gonna give it to a young Vin Diesel breaking into a theater.
Because he breaks into the mall. That's good.
Yeah. Because he breaks in and a kindly old man helps him turn his life around.
Ah, Vin Diesel didn't get bombarded with product placement.
That we know of.
Yeah, we don't know. It's been many years. Call in, Vin. Let us know. Did you get bombarded?
Yeah, right. Vinny! Did I like this as a kid or... Did I like this as a kid or would I have liked it as a kid? I feel like from the ages of 12 to 15, I would have been like, that's funny as hell.
Yeah, I feel like as a kid, I would have thought this was hysterical.
Yes.
Three boob, always fun.
Yeah. All right. What has the director gone on to do? This was directed by... I closed out my internet, so I did not remember to have this up and ready. This was directed by Seth Kearsley. And since then, why is my internet being weird? Seth Kearsley has gone on to... direct at least three episodes of Family Guy, the Ron White animated show, Slacker Cats, The Good Family, Charades, all of Take Two with Phineas and Ferb, Crazy Town, the Looney Tunes show.
What are the Family Guy episodes?
I Take the Quagmire, what? Jungle Love, and Peter Tardis.
One more time on that last one.
Petarded.
Gotcha.
The one where he's like, I knew what a fire truck was.
Yeah.
Now I put my hand in a deep fryer or whatever. Also, Where's Waldo and Trollstopia.
Ah.
So he's kind of been relegated to TV world.
And animated.
He didn't do any features before. He didn't do any features before this. He worked on Dilbert and Mummies Alive.
He's got a brand.
He did the Secret Life of Pets, apparently.
He worked in the art department. I think he's working in Illumination's art department now because he did it for Secret Life of Pets and Sing.
Connor hates Sing. I don't know if we've mentioned that before.
I do.
I think it's largely inoffensive.
If you listen to the Clifford episode, I hate Sing.
I've never seen Sing.
Anyway.
It's like American Idol with animated animals.
Yeah, there's no real inspiration behind it besides it'll appeal to the lowest common denominator and we will make money, and I think that sucks.
It is perfectly
fine.
Would
you say Connor hates Sing or Single Moms
more? Oh, man. I think after today, I learned something new, so it's really a toss-up.
It's Sing. It's Sing. Is there anything in this film that's as memorable as the Peter Pan dance? What's the big memorable moment in the film?
Technical foul.
Yeah, technical foul.
A technical foul is the real answer, but I feel as though I'm legally required to say three boob. Always funny.
I would also say deer eating shit is probably pretty memorable.
Yeah, I feel like at least technical foul and shit eating deer are like the things that people would be like, yeah, that was in that movie. And then
and the
be
whitey like, boys.
What about the three boob lady? Yeah.
See, I didn't remember the
shit. Be like, what about the three boobs?
Yeah.
And then they would go, no.
You could count the whitey boys as pretty memorable.
For sure.
Yeah. But speaking of Whitey, who's the Brad Garrett, Carol Kane, memorably bizarre scene-stealing side character of the film?
Eleanor.
I would have to give it to the big guy whose jockstrap they eat. You see his ass a lot when he talks. He's like, I got your jockstrap. And you're like, what the fuck is his story?
He's just a fat guy working out.
Just a poor man being harassed at the rec center.
Yeah, he's trying his best.
I mean, they didn't make him eat any jock straps.
That's true. He was only the supplier. I did laugh a little bit. Well, at the end of the button on that scene where the guy's eating the jock strap and he's standing there and he's like, why are you doing that?
I didn't care for the fact that the guy that's eating the jockstrap, while he's burning down Davey's house, is still chewing on the jockstrap.
He is. And apparently that guy is an O'Doyle.
So
as in O'Doyle rules.
I gotta give it to Whitey.
Yeah, he's kind of a main character.
Yeah. I don't know.
But like, yeah.
Is it eight crazy Whiteys?
Is it eight crazy Davies?
So well, it was going to be Davey called Whitey be and Davey, the but also. They were like. You're not saying Hanukkah's the main character of the film.
I don't know, man.
I feel like that's just a functionally weird reading of the movie.
I think Hanukkah is the main character of the season.
I feel like we're watching different movies now.
Well, that is a pretty batshit insane take, which leads us to Happy Hanukkah. Is there anything as batshit insane as the one scene Sound of Music subplot from The Pacifier? They think this is a very uncomfortable thing to be bringing up during a Hanukkah-themed episode. They think the young boy Seth that Vin Diesel is watching is a Nazi because he bleaches his hair and has an armband and is skipping wrestling practice, but they find out after following him to what they think is a rally, he's actually just playing Rolf in a community theater production of The Sound of Music, where he has a 40-year-old Liesel. Is there anything in this movie that's as batshit insane as that?
The laugh scene? Kevin Nealon tells that joke and
the deer shit themselves.
It goes on for like a minute and a half.
It goes on for far too long.
I give it to the differently sized feet.
Good feet.
It's fucking weird that it happens.
Nice. Yeah, I'd have to give it to either the laugh reaction to the joke or the shit dripping off the deer's teeth.
Tyler is not going to sleep.
He hates shit deer. He hates shit deer so much.
I don't care for that.
That's not for me.
There's a streaming service that exists called Crackle.
Before you Crackle, do you want to rate it?
No, that comes after.
Oh, you're
that comes after Crackle.
You're moving it to here?
Yeah, because I remembered it this time.
Oh,
all right. There's a streaming service called Crackle, and sometimes when movies are available on it, in lieu of a plot synopsis, it just has a one-sentence little bit of flavor text to tell you why would you want to watch it, or, as they put it, why it crackles. I don't think this movie is available on Crackle currently. For an example of a why it crackles sentence, let's look at the movie Hunter Killer, starring Gerard Butler. They say, why it crackles, only Gerard Butler can stop a Russian coup in this submarine thriller that will shred your nerves. So something similar to that, for Eight Crazy Nights, why does Eight Crazy Nights crackle? Nerves, not nards.
Three boob, always fun.
I would take that one further, and I would say, three boob, always crackles.
I also, I'm trying to figure out a way to work Deer Pyramid into that. Because Deer Pyramid made me laugh. I don't know why, it shouldn't have. But it's pyramid.
Just some deer in a pyramid.
All right, come on over here.
I think it would be, you don't have much of a choice when it comes to Hanukkah movies, sadly. So why not this one?
Crackle.
Three.
Yeah, and then the little song will happen at the end. And finally, what is your ranking and rating against The Pacifier?
You know, I'm going to stick with the theme. I'm going to give this movie three boobs way up. It's not better than The Pacifier, but I do love it.
I think I'm going to go two boobs. It's not better than The Pacifier, you're right. I don't love it. But it was fun.
All right, I guess I'll stick with the boob scale. I give it one boob. I think it's a bad movie that has some, there are some good jokes in there, which is why it doesn't get, you know, no boobs or just a nipple. But it's so much worse than The Pacifier. Like, it's weird. It's a mess, but like sometimes it gets you. Well, that's our discussion on Eight Crazy Nights for our first Snow Highway Option episode. And now Tyler has our next holiday movie for next week's episode, and he's going to have us guess what it is. It's time to play the Coming Attractions game.
Okay. Hint-wise, I'm trying to come up with some hints here to give you. I'm just going to say, sticking with the holiday theme, I'll stick with the holiday theme despite not specifically wanting to. But what I assume. Well,
you're on a December.
What do you get when you cross Bruce Willis with Washington, D.C. and Yippee-ki-yay, mother?
Is it a movie we've already done? yeah. Well, this one's not Christmas. It's a different holiday. If it's this one specifically.
Have you done Die Hard 2?
Oh, no.
Is Die Hard 2 in DC?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I forgot that.
I'm pretty sure it's in DC.
Because Die Hard 4 is also in DC. Ish.
Yeah, that's why I thought.
That's also what I thought. I was going to say the same thing to you, well, Connor, but you beat me to it.
I'm pretty sure Die Hard 2 is in DC. I'm going to feel real stupid if it's not.
Either way, we have not done Die Hard 2.
We're going to do Die Hard 2 next week, then.
Hell yeah.
Inadvertently, one of the shortest coming attractions games we've ever done because we fucked up.
Go team!
I was unprepared for how miserable that reaction was.
Alright, well. Tune in next week to hear us talk about Die Hard 2, Die Harder with another special guest. Thank you for coming on, Tyler. Do you have anything you want to plug? Anywhere people want to find you?
No, I don't do anything exciting. But I do appreciate you guys inviting me on. This is a blast. This is great.
Yeah, and actually, this is a rare episode where we're going for longer than the movie.
Nice.
How about that? As for us, you can follow us anywhere at No Highway Pod. That's YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We have a TikTok that I keep forgetting to post on. We have a YouTube channel that exists. We have a Twitch that also exists that we'll be using at some point. Keep tuning in for Snow Highway Option. Eventually, even though that would probably get us DMCA takedown, maybe, but like we'll talk about that. Right, whatever. Tune in for more Snow Highway Option coming up. Christmas, get ready to open a little present as we do the Spider-Thon, every Spider-Man movie leading up to No Way Home. And Luke, do you have a... We got a tree, so what's your thing now?
All right, here's a gift you can send us to put under our No Highway Foot tree. What state has the weirdest laws surrounding fishing? Where do you go to have the hardest time getting a fishing license? Give us a call.
Okay.
Where can they call us, Connor?
You can call us or text us at the Highway Patrol tip line. That's 301-941-7493. Or 301-941-SIZE if you're better with words than with numbers. Leave us a message, shoot us a text, we'll read it on air, we'll play your message on the air. Brad has sent us in the past a ranking of his Spider-Man movies that he's currently watching, but we'll talk about that during the Spider-Thon.
Right
on. And I believe that is that. We are recording this on my dad's birthday, so happy birthday to my dad.
Happy birthday, John.
Happy birthday.
And thank you again for coming on, Tyler. Tune in next week for Die Hard 2. But for now, for No Highway Option, I've been Connor.
And I've been Luke.
I'm still me.
And as always, these have been our opinions. And if you didn't agree with them, that's too bad, because it's our way.
No highway
option. Happy second night of Hanukkah, everyone. The theme music for No Highway Option was created by Ian C. Weber. To hear more of Ian's music and see some of his videos and stuff, follow the new link in our show description. No Highway Option was co-created and co-hosted by Connor J. Burke and Luke Smith, and produced by Connor.